Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Brenda Brewer, your remote participant manager. Welcome to the SSED ODP Project Update Community Webinar on the 13th of July, 2021 at 16 UTC. Please note that this session is being recorded and follows the ICANN expected standards of behavior. Also, questions will be taken at the end of today's presentation and will only be read aloud if submitted within the Q&A pod. I will read them aloud during the time set by the moderator of this session. All participants may make comments in the chat. Please use the drop-down menu in the chat pod and select Respond to All Panelists and Attendees. This will allow everyone to view your comment. And with that, I will hand the floor over to Elisa Agopian. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda, and hello, everyone. Thanks all for joining us today. We're really excited to see such wide interest in the progress of our first operational design phase, or ODP, as many of you have heard it referenced in the last few months. My name is Elisa Agopian, and I'm the Senior Director of Strategic Initiatives, a team that sits within the Global Domains and Strategy function here at ICANN.org. As its name implies, our team is responsible for coordinating the org's efforts to address various programs and projects of strategic importance to the organization. So this includes leading the very first operational design phase, or ODP, for the EPDP Phase 2 team's consensus policy recommendations for an SSAD, or System for Standardized Access or Disclosure. In just a moment, my colleague Lars Hoffman will give an overview of ODPs more broadly and the process that ICANN.org recently formalized and shared with the community. It's important to remember that this process is actually formalizing and adding additional transparency to a task the org has always conducted for the board as it considers consensus policy recommendations. So today you'll be hearing directly from the team conducting this analysis on their progress and next steps. So I hope you find this webinar to be informative. We'll certainly welcome your questions and feedback at the end after we get through our presentations here. So now I'm going to hand the microphone over to my colleague Yuko Green, who is our program director and the project owner for this initiative, to introduce today's agenda. Yuko, together with Diana Middleton, a project program manager on our team and the project manager for this effort, will walk you through the details of this particular ODP, while, as I said, Lars will give you an overview of the overall approach to ODP that the org is taking. So let me hand it over to Yuko.
Thank you, Elisa. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining today. As Elisa mentioned, my name is Yuko Green, and I'm the Program Director of Strategic Initiatives, and I am the project owner of the SSAD ODP. You see the agenda here, and as Elisa has explained, we will first be opening up the discussion with the overview of the ODP itself. Then we'll walk through how the SSAD ODP product team has been tackling this project. We'll also talk about notable updates and how we have been maintaining the transparency of the ODP thus far. We will end our presentation with the next step on this SSAD ODP project and a Q&A. So without further ado, let's get started. Lars, please.
And I'm myself. Thank you, Yuko. Hi, everyone. My name is Lars Hoffman, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the general process surrounding the operational design phase, the ODP. For those of you who are unlucky enough to want to dive a little bit more deeply into the subject matter, my colleagues will post in a minute a couple of links. There's the ODP process paper itself, which relays out the process itself. It's a whole section on roles and responsibility from the council to the GNSO council, I should say, to the GNSO liaison, the board, the org, and the wider community, obviously, of course, and what is expected during an ODP from these various participants. There's also going to be a link to a Zoom webinar we recorded earlier this year while we were still developing the ODP, that also gives some insight, and then we gave a presentation to the GAC during ICANN 71, where we also talk a bit more in detail about the ODP process itself. Right. onto the slide here. The ODP is conducted by Iconaut, and the purpose really is to provide the board with relevant information and help the board decide if it, if any given recommendation that's been approved by the GNSO Council and lies before the board is in the best interest of the ICANN community or ICANN. And that is really, that derives from the bylaws, obviously, the texts and the annex. Therefore, the ODP is both initiated and scoped by the board, meaning every ODP will have a scoping document that goes with it that lays out kind of what the board, what additional information or specific information the board thinks will be helpful to its deliberation. It also contains an initial timeline, and for the asset ODP, you will find that in the scoping document in more detail. The natural trigger point for an ODP is when the GNSO Council has submitted its recommendations via the recommendations report to the board. The process paper, if you read that in detail, also provides the option to start an ODP earlier, overlapping potentially with a PDP. A couple of factors have to come to play for that to take place. I won't go into that because that's not applicable here to the assets, but it might be interesting to some. As you know, I'm sure, the GNSO Council, who transmits the recommendations to the board for its consideration, is the manager of the PDP process, and therefore the council plays a specific role if policy questions come up. So questions pertaining, I'm sorry about the background noises here, questions pertaining to the intent or the content of any given recommendation is something, if that comes up, that will then be referred to the GNSO Council, and to ease the communication there between the council and the org team and potentially the board, obviously, it was stipulated the council may want to appoint a GNSO liaison. Those kind of interactions, as I said, that pertain to policy-specific questions that may or may not arise during an ODP. In addition to that, or I should say separately from that, actually, there will be community consultation throughout the ODP as well. So there, ICANN-ORG, once they've reached specific milestones during an ODP process, will share relevant facts and figures and give an assumption with the community and solicit input on those. And those kind of outreaches will take place for the whole of the community. The requests will go out either by a mailing list or directly addressed to the SOACs, stakeholder groups, constituencies, RALOs, etc. And input is sought on that. In addition to the consultation, there will also be a situation where ICANN-ORG, like this webinar, provides updates on the progress of the ODP. So that also will take place, I think, throughout the work of the ODP. This is obviously the first one here for the asset ODP. And that may take place through this webinars, blogs, there might be outreach during ICANN meetings, etc. The ODP itself, as I said, conducted by the org. The outcome of that is the operation design assessment, kind of a fancy word if you want, for a final report, which will, once completed, be submitted to the board for the board's consideration. And the board really will use that report, the ODA, as well as all other relevant information, such as the recommendations report that was submitted on the council, the final report, obviously, from the working group itself, public comments submitted on the final report, and any other relevant information that the board deems relevant or important for its consideration. And all that will be taken on by the board together to deliberate whether any given recommendations is in the best interest of the ICANN community or ICANN. And before I close, just a general comment as well. We had a couple of questions on this during previous webinars, so I hope I don't mind if I ad-lib a little bit here. The ODP sounds like a new complex process. Why do we need that? Why are we doing this? And it really is something, work that the ODP is work that the ORC is already performing and has performed to inform the board for its consideration and deliberation on policy recommendations. But the ODP really does this in a more comprehensive and structured manner. So that means that the outcome of the ODP, the operational assessment, the final report, will contain a more exhaustive overview of all relevant issues. And obviously there's public consultation that takes place, as I just mentioned, that hasn't taken place in the past. So this also makes it more transparent to the community about the information that the org provides to the board for its deliberation. And there's also a strong belief among the board and the org that the operation design aspect of the ODP will very likely lead to efficiency gains, timing gains really, during the implementation process. So the expectation there is that any time spent on the ODP will be more than made up for during the implementation process. And I think that is the end of my presentation. I'm going to pass it on to my colleague, Yuko, please. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Lars. Okay, so as Lars has explained, so this type of assessment work has always been conducted before. This is org's very first assessment under the ODP structure. So the way we approach this asset ODP is to make sure we lay the solid groundwork first before getting into the substance of the work, which is to do an analysis based on the scoping document that the board has provided to the org, and to produce an assessment report, the ODA, as Lars have mentioned. So what does it mean to lay the solid groundwork? So, well, we first start by establishing a project governance. Second comes the building of mutual understanding among the team members in terms of what it is that we're trying to achieve. We also need to collect data that is needed for the team to effectively conduct an assessment. Third, the project team agrees on assumptions together, and then we can finally conduct a meaningful assessment and then draft the ODA. So it's linearly portrayed here. Items 2 through 5 can simultaneously happen. And at the beginning of this project, more weight is put on items 2 and 3 and less on 4 and 5. As the time goes by though, the weight shifts to items 4 and 5. We will walk through these 5 items in detail in the next couple of slides and provide you with an update on what kind of work has been happening under each item. So with that, I will hand it off to Diana to talk about the project governance now.
Thank you, Yuko. To ensure a successful completion of this SAT ODP project, our team has been following ICANN's project management framework. The framework has 5 phases, ideate, initiate, plan, execute, and close. During the first 3 phases, we developed a project proposal, authorizing the project to begin, a project charter, identifying the project scope, the project team, and outlining roles and responsibilities. And during the planning phase, we developed a high-level timeline as we began working on the project. During this time, we also saw the appointment of the GNSO Council Liaison, Yannis Karklins, who chaired the PDP Phase 2. Next slide, please. Thank you. The structure of the SAD ODP is very similar to other projects within the organization. Our project team reports to ICANN Org's Internal Data Protection Privacy Steering Committee, which is comprised of representatives from various functions and departments for guidance and decision-making. We then provide information to the board caucus on EPDP GDPR, who in turn provides updates to the full board. This structure allows for full visibility into the project and a way for guidance to be passed along in a consistent manner. Next slide, please. Thank you. As mentioned before, the project team was previously working on a project governance and preparations for the project work during the ideate, initiate, and plan phases of the project. Currently, we are in the execute phase of the project where we are working on the RFI, outreach to the GAC, the community questionnaire, and market research, along with drafting portions of the operational design assessment along with aligned assumptions. My colleague Yuko in the next few slides will provide more information about those areas of work. Yuko?
Thank you, Diana. Next slide, please. So this takes us to the second layer of the pyramid about mutual understanding and data collection. Once we had established a project governance, we jumped onto this mutual understanding building and data collection. The ESSOD ODP team consists of cross-functional team members like technical services, engineering and IT, operations, procurement, finance, just to name a few. It is important that we collectively share the same understanding of the 18 recommendations related to the ESSOD. After all, we can't have one project member thinking that we will be building an airplane while another is thinking to build a bicycle, hypothetically, of course, even though both will be achieving to get you from point A to point B. So what we have to do is to comb through each and every recommendation, make sure the team share the same understanding. This will help us build a high-level design of the ESSOD, how the process flows, and what the relationship among the key actors, such as Central Gateway Manager, Accreditation Authority, auditors, and identity providers. While combing through the recommendations, we were also able to identify the need of an additional data point. As of today, we've issued a request for information, the RFI, opened a community survey, which I'll touch upon in more detail in the next few slides. While it's not listed here, we also recently sent off a list of questions to the GNSL Council liaison, Yanis, to seek clarification on a number of recommendations from the council. The next step is for Yanis to take the questions to the council for discussion and get back to us in the future. The questions we sent to Yanis are publicly archived in the ESSOD ODP webpage under the engagement section, if anybody's interested. We also plan to engage with GAC members on recommendation two, which is about the accreditation of the governmental entities. This is happening in the near future. All these data collecting activities will help inform ICANN's assessment for the ESSOD ODP. Next slide, please. Thank you. So as a part of the data collection, we opened a request for information on 21 June. It primarily focuses around the identity verification methodologies in terms of what is available in the marketplace. You see a list of few examples on the slide here. And so far, we have about 20 or so entities interested in participating. The RFI will remain open until 19 July. So we have about a week left. I'd like to encourage you all to look into it, and if you know of any entities that may be versed in this topic, please do share the word and encourage them to participate, as we'd like as much participation as possible. Next slide, please. As another part of the data collection, we recently opened two community surveys. One is specifically for ICANN's contracted parties and another for the wider community. These surveys will help us determine the volume of the potential non-public registration data requests, as well as potential number of ESSOD users if implemented. This is a particularly important data point, not only to answer the scoping questions listed in the slide, but also to inform the potential fee structure of the ESSOD itself. As you may be aware, the ESSOD is envisioned to be financially self-sufficient, meaning that the recommendation 14.2 states that the requesters of the ESSOD data should primarily bear the cost of maintaining the system. So understanding what the number of expected pool of users and what is the expected volume of requests will play a key role in all the effort to come up with the fee structure. The survey to the contracted parties have been sent to their primary contacts on July 8th, and the community survey is open to anybody in the world. The surveys will be open until 22 July, and we ask that you please do participate. The survey only have a handful of questions, so it shouldn't take more than a few minutes to answer. Next slide, please. This takes us to the third item of the pyramid, assumptions. Again, the team needs to have a common the common assumptions to build our assessment in one cohesive vision. Agreeing whether we are building an airplane or a bicycle isn't enough to share the same vision. So if agreeing on an airplane, for example, we then need to drill down to say, let's assume it won't need a water landing feature or a second floor. The org is currently developing the robust assumptions, which we are building off of the cost estimate paper we published last year, May. You can see some of the example assumptions on the slide here. Important thing to note here is that even though we can make some assumptions right now, some other assumptions cannot be made until we have more data from our data collection efforts. So we're building it out as more information becomes available to us through RFI, community surveys, outreaches to GNSL Council, and GAC members. The assumptions will also lead to the actual assessment and the ODA drafting. Next slide, please. So this leads us to the actual assessment and ODA drafting, which was the fourth and fifth items on the pyramid. We're actually making progress on assessment and ODA drafting as of right now for those areas that do not need extra data points, external data points. We should have more to share on this area of work during the next community webinar. Next slide, please. So now that we have talked about five items from the pyramid, let's talk about the transparency of the ODP. The transparency is a huge component of the ODP concept. And because of that, we have launched the S.ODP webpage back in April. The webpage contains community feedback function where people can email the S.ODP team. The emails are publicly archived, so you can see all the email exchanges from the past. My apology for the trash collectors outside if it's loud. This feedback section also provides visibility into S.ODP team's external outreach, such as our clarifying questions we ask to the GNSL Council liaison. In a way, this is our sort of a community forum where it transparently logs community feedback as well as org's engagement with the community. The webpage also aggregates all other engagement efforts that org makes, such as blogs and announcements related to the S.ODP project. It's meant to be a one-stop shop where you can find all information about this project. We also plan to host more webinars on S.ODP as more progress is made, and we'll be sure to make an announcement when the next webinar is scheduled again. We also established a monthly meeting with GNSL Council liaison, Yanis, where we provide status updates to him and maintaining the platform for S.ODP team members and council liaison to discuss any issues or clarification we may need from council. As mentioned earlier, we did send Yanis an email with a list of clarifying questions about some of the recommendations, and you can find that archived email in the S.ODP webpage. Next slide, please. So what is next? What's next on the horizon? We'll be analyzing various data points collected via our engagement, such as RFI, community surveys, and responses from GNSL Council, which is expected to be delivered in the future. We also plan to issue an outreach to GAC, so we will be analyzing the input once received. And with that, we will be continuing to build on our assumptions as well as the ODA drafting. Next slide, please. So this concludes our presentation portion of our webinar, and we are now ready to take questions. I believe that Brenda at the beginning of the session has mentioned that we would like questions in the Q&A pod. Do we have questions now? Brenda?
Thank you, Yuko. This is Brenda. Yes, we do have a question from El Sidar. Yuko, why are you sending those questions to Yanis instead of the GNSO Council?
Thank you for the question. The ODP process paper actually outlines the role of the GNSO liaison, council liaison. So Yanis is our escalation point to reach to the GNSO Council so that we can have a one single point of contact and streamline our engagement with the GNSO Council. So this is why we go through Yanis, as he's the appointed GNSO Council liaison.
Thank you, Yuko. The next question is from Steve Crocker. Is it expected that all requests for non-public data will be the same, or will some requests be treated differently?
Thank you, Steve. So the GNSO Council approved final report has several recommendations related to that. And there are a particular one is that there are automated one for and also non-automated one in terms of the disclosure. So we are following the recommendations on that to treat them differently for automation and non-automation. Is there any other questions?
Yes, Yuko, we do have another question. It's actually a comment. Could Lars perhaps expand about his reference to other triggers for an ODP? For example, given that the ongoing privacy proxy work may impact future SSED, would it be appropriate to engage in a preliminary ODP on the cost, policy, and legal consideration about privacy proxy? Unfortunately, this implementation work was put on hold during the EPDP, and that comes from Michael Pelagi.
Thank you, Brenda, and thank you, Michael, obviously. Yes, there's an earlier trigger possibility for an ODP. As I said in the presentation, it's the board, obviously, that will initiate an ODP. And if there is a desire to have that start during the PDV process, I believe the process paper, I posted a link just there, I think it's pages 6 and 7, roughly, talk about that. I think the GNSO Council, as the manager of the PDP process, and the board would have to come together, as well as likely the leadership of any given PDP, and discuss why and how an earlier start is helpful. And then, if everybody agrees, I think the board would then initiate a PDP. An ODP at an earlier stage. Usually, I think the thinking behind that was to roughly take place maybe around the publication of the draft final report, or maybe even the initial report, depending on the state that the recommendations are in. As a reminder, the ODP is obviously there to analyze the operational assessment, to analyze the operational feasibility and design of recommendations. And so for an ODP to start in overlap with the PDP, it would make great sense for the recommendation, if not to be finalized, then to be in a very final-ish state. I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lars. The next question from Steve Crocker. If you plan to have different requests treated differently, where are the details of who will be allowed to get which data?
Thank you, Steve, for the question. So they will only be treated differently in the sense that those that are automated will be checked to ensure they meet the requirements for automated requests. The non-automated requests will also face the same standards for accreditation and then the contracted parties, which are tasked with determining whether to disclose the data. We'll assess the requests. All users must be accredited and must meet the requirements for accreditation as laid out in Recommendation 1 of the EPDP Phase 2 report.
And we have a follow-up from Steve Crocker. For example, what data will each of the following be allowed to get? Security researchers, intellectual property attorneys, domainers, mergers and acquisitions, due diligence investigators, general public interested in ownership of a domain.
Thank you, Steve. Can I get back to you a little later on this? Brenda, can we go to next question?
Yeah.
Maybe I can answer the question. You've got.
Yeah, please.
From Steve Crocker. So, Steve, it's not up to the ESSA to make that decision who gets access to the data. That's a result of the legislation as itself. So, in that, and as you know, the legislation points to, in this particular case, the contracted parties who are the controller of this specific decision to make that decision. They are responsible for that one. So the system itself cannot and will not make that deliberation. That's also part of the policy. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, Joran. The next question from Yik Chan Chin. How do you treat the divergency regard to local laws in privacy and PI protections in determining the request of data?
I was muted. Thank you for the question. How do you treat the divergence in regard to the law? So if this question is about disclosure of the data, then contracted parties are the one that chooses whether to disclose the data or not.
May I again add something?
Please, Johan.
ICANN policies can only act upon where there is no law. When there is a law, local law and other laws always take precedence above any policy taken by the ICANN community. Of course, it gets complicated if two laws are conflicting with each other in that setup. But that is a question for the law itself, not for the ICANN policy.
Thank you, Oren. Next question, please.
Thank you, Yuko. Question comes from Nigel Hickson. Good afternoon. Do you envision any other SOAC liaisons? Would one for GAC be considered if thought useful?
I'll take that, Brenda. Hi, Nigel. Thanks for the question. So engagement is always welcome.
that first off. The GNSO Council liaison is really there to discuss issues that strictly pertain to policy. So we don't envision, and when we drafted the whole process, we don't really envision there to be an overly work-intensive role, because usually the recommendations that come out of the PDP are straightforward, and if and when we design processes that come out of the recommendations, that can be dealt with according to the information contained in the final report. But if there are any questions about the intent of a recommendation, or maybe there's something that we think doesn't work, or the ODP team thinks doesn't or can't work for whatever reason, then there's an issue with the policy itself that will be addressed to the council, who's the manager of the PDP process. All other consultations will take place with the entire community on an equal footing. So about the actual work of the ODP, that will not go to the GNSO Council liaison, it will go to the GNSO Council, maybe via the liaison, but it's the council who will have to respond in whatever way that's feasible. But the same outreach will take place to all other SOEs and ACs. And if I can just add to that, if the GAC or any other SOEC or stakeholder group or constituency or RADO would like to nominate a person that stays informed specifically on the ODP work, participates in these webinars, is in touch with staff if and when needed, and is aware of what is going on, and that person can then coordinate outreach requests to the SOACs when they come, I think that would be very useful, and you know, for what it's worth, I would think that's a great idea. But I think procedurally, that is not something that's envisioned for the reason I laid out about the policy issue here for the liaison from the GNSO. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Yes, thank you. The next question from Yik Chan Chin. Will the local laws override the UDRP?
Hi, this is Aliza Gopin. Thank you. I'll take that question. So UDRP providers, just as any other party, has to follow any laws that are applicable to them, obviously wherever they are based and certainly wherever they are requesting data from. So I think that would be, of course, true of anyone using the proposed SDET system. I should note that we are reaching out to the community that includes UDRP providers, as well as any other potential users of the SDAT, as Yuko mentioned earlier in our presentation, to get a better understanding of the frequency and the volume of requests that they submit to the non-public registration data. So this is an area we're also trying to understand more for the purpose of our assessment. Thank you.
Do we have any more questions or? Brenda?
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. All right then. And if you could, so if you think of more questions after this webinar, you can always email us at odp-sad@icann.org, and we will be able to answer you back through that email. Can you go to the next slide? So before we close this webinar, I wanted to mention a couple of webinars coming up this month. First one is the UN, the EU, and your business, what comes next? On 20th of July at 1600 UTC. And then the second one will be the DNS Security Threat Mitigation Program update and community discussion, which will be on 22nd of July at 1600 UTC. Both are happening this month, and I'd like to encourage you all to register and participate.
Oh. And Yuko, we do have another question if you'd like to take that at this time.
Sure. Yeah.
Question, thank you. The question is from Susan Payne. What is the anticipated timing for completion of this work?
Thank you, Susan, for the question. So SNOT ODP was triggered by the board resolution on 25th of March, I believe. And the board resolution has requested that this ODP be completed within 6 months from the resolution, which puts us to the end of September. So as you saw at the beginning of the presentation, where Diana has walked through a high-level timeline, we are working towards finishing this work by the end of September. Okay. Thank you. So that's the timeline that Diana has walked through earlier today. Okay. So I want to mention that today's webinar's recording and the presentation materials will be posted on the SSAD ODP webpage. So I hope you find it useful. On behalf of the ICANN org and the project team, I thank you for joining us today. Have a good morning, afternoon, and evening.
The recording has stopped.
Thank you all for participating in today's webinar. Enjoy your morning, afternoon, evening. Thank you.